North Korea recently celebrated its 68th anniversary, and leader Kim Jong-un test-fired the country's latest submarine-based missile, detonated a fifth nuclear bomb, and conducted a rocket engine test. The world condemned the provocative actions of the defiant nation, but why has 2016 seen so many tests? Hello everyone, I'm Steve Miller. A few dates for you. January 6th, August 24th, September 9th, and September 20th, all this year, 2016. The first and third are a pair of nuclear detonations, North Korea's fourth and fifth. The second date is the latest test firing of a submarine-based ballistic missile, and the last is a test of a high-powered rocket engine. U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry, South Korea's Foreign Minister Yoon Byung-se, and Japan's Foreign Minister Fumio Kishida met ahead of the United Nations General Assembly this week. Secretary Kerry said the United States remained deeply committed to the United States treaty and defense obligations, as well as to rolling back the provocative, reckless behavior of the DPRK. The secretary then continued,
"We have said many times that we are prepared to sit down with the DPRK to deal with the issues of non-aggression, of peace on the Korean Peninsula, of joining the international community, of attracting assistance and economic development, providing North Korea is prepared to talk with the rest of the world about responsible approaches to the question of nuclear weaponry and a nuclear program."
Now, North Korea doesn't appear to want to sit down and roll back much of anything, but rather seems to be accelerating their activity. Harry Kazianis, Director of Defense Studies at the Center for the National Interest, says there's a simple reason as to why North Korea has stepped up its testing schedule.
I think it's very simple. I think the technology is basically maturing, and the only way to ensure that this technology works is to test it, and to test it quite rigorously. I mean, if you just go back into history and look at other nations that have sort of gone on the same path, whether it's the United States in the 1950s, the Soviets in the 1950s and 60s, the only way to make sure this stuff basically works is to continually test it, continually refine it, and to make sure that it's accurate.
And since North Korea doesn't have the economic resources of the United States or the Soviet Union, it has to test, test, and then test again to make sure things are in working order. The nuclear test in January earned North Korea leader Kim Jong-un a strong rebuke from the international community, with the United Nations passing what is typically referred to as the strongest sanctions against the regime. Many also look to China to rein in Kim Jong-un's provocative behavior. But is that something that's even possible? Kazianis says China
definitely can exert pressure, but the question is, will they? And the answer, of course, is they will not.
2 days before North Korea's fifth nuclear test, Choe Son-hui, the DPRK's top nuclear envoy, was in Beijing.
Judging from the fact that Beijing didn't absolutely explode with anger on the day of the test.
That's Adam Cathcart, lecturer in Chinese history at the University of Leeds and editor at SinoNK.com. He points out how the world saw the dynamics at play.
I would assume that the North Koreans probably explained their rationale, explained that it was coming. You'll remember that the Korean War itself was unleashed by Kim Il-sung without warning. So this is kind of an ongoing issue between the two sides, basically. North Koreans doing things by surprise. So in a weird sort of way, even though it's a nuclear test and China's not happy about it, communication surrounding this test appears to have been much better than the previous test.
So what exactly is leader Kim Jong-un's end game?
Who knows what Kim Jong-un wants? Some people think that maybe he wants this ultimately as a bargaining chip. They basically say this nuclear program is part of the Constitution. Now, we can laugh at that. Their Constitution is scrap paper a lot of times. So why would he accrue all of this power and all this prestige? He is at almost all of these tests himself since 2012, right? So it's not just that we've seen a spike in testing. He is the brand name. He is the face of all of these tests. And for him to suddenly say, well, you know, yeah, it was all just kind of a game so that we could make some kind of a deal so that we can buy more Nikes or do more business with the Americans via Kaesong or whatever. I don't see that happening.
With Kim not entertaining the thought of giving up his programs, what options remain? Harry Kazianis again.
If you look at all of the available policy options in front of us, an isolation and containment strategy really is only the viable alternative. I think we all know the United States and South Korea and Japan are not going to institute regime change. North Korea has chemical, biological weapons, nuclear weapons now, that's off the table. Nobody wants to pressure the North Korean regime to collapse because of all the problems that would institute. In terms of sanctions, there's only so much that we can do.
That is going to do it for me this week. And if you enjoyed the episode, please share it with your friends. And don't forget to subscribe so you can get the podcast delivered to you automatically. The podcast is in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. You can also connect with me and share your thoughts at our community Facebook page, VOA Now. Thank you so much for listening. From Washington, I'm Steve Miller.